be mentally ready, because what happens is you get in, you're like, oh, real estate, great. And then, oh, you have to basically manage a property with a tenant that is, you know, high rate. Like, oh yeah, that's what, you know, what happens. So be ready,
right,
to know that it takes a lot of work. So that's kind of mindset, you know, section.
Mindset building, yeah, right.
Tactically, right, not everybody has a rich dad that can loan them, you know, a really small amount of money, like $1 million. So if you don't have a dad like that, like I didn't, what you should do is, you know, scrape together some savings and buy a small multifamily asset.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I'm your host, Yona Weiss. And with me today, I'm very privileged to have the one and only Ola Dantas. Ola,
how are you, my friend? Thank you. So good to be here, Yona. So excited.
Yeah, I mean, there's something really interesting. We have a lot of real estate investors on this podcast, and we talk about many different subjects in real estate. So I'm really excited to you because, you know, everyone has a unique take on it, but you're doing a lot of different things and you've done a lot in the past. And I'd love to just share a little bit about your journey and where you've come today. It's something interesting, just a little background about Ola, just to give a little context. I always love to. He's the founder and CEO of Dwellin, which is a multifamily investment company, private equity. So they own and invest in multifamily property, specifically in Texas. Ola is located in Houston, Texas. They got some deals over there. And one thing that I love about Dwellin, this is actually a question I just posed recently on one of my groups, is like, you know, you're investing in real estate now, but what was your degree in, right? and you have a background in something like biochemistry or something like that.
Medical science. Yep, biomedical science.
Biomedical science. So to go from that to multifamily real estate investing is pretty, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum if you think about it.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear what you're doing with that and how you've come from originally born in Nigeria, moved to England at 16, and moved to the United States a few years ago and have really taken off. So that's in a nutshell my version of your background. But why don't you tell me a little bit more?
Yeah, for our listeners. Yeah, I mean, where do I start? Let's touch on the degree stuff. I really want to talk about that. So I think you posed that question and we talked about that, like, you know, going to university and not actually doing what you spent 3-4 years doing in your real life. Well, I also went to do a master's, not chess bidding year, but I did a master's in the business school. So it was a very interesting fuse of, you know, a scientific background to like business. Right. So that was just really fascinating. And that's kind of where my entrepreneurial journey kind of kickstarted. I'm sure I was in there. But anyway, I still think there's this old conversation about, should you go to university or should you have a degree, or is this still worth it, especially with right now, you know, COVID-19 and, you know, learning online. But I really think, you know, folks should still go to university, because what you learn in university stays with you. It's not the like actual technical content, but it's just the way to think, right? Critical thinking, how you put words together. I mean, I wrote a dissertation that is like, I don't know, 25,000 words. So that forces you to know how to narrate, to break down complex, you know, complex terminologies into baby words. You know, in our generation right now, it sounds like a buzzy word, like, oh, don't go to college, but honestly, like the Fortune 100 companies still value that paper, unquote. So I really want to just, if you're listening to that, you're young, you're considering going to university, do it. It does not matter. Yes, you get some debt, but if you keep pushing through, you're not the first one to have that, you pay off with, you know. So anyway, so a little bit about kind of my
background. But that's interesting. I want to stop you there for a second, because you touched on something really interesting. And obviously this is a point of contention. A lot of people argue with, but wouldn't you say that you could potentially get that critical thinking in just kind of on the job training or on the job, you know, if you decide to go to some sort of vocational, you know, something, especially given the fact that you may not use your degree, meaning just you're posing the kind of side of the debate, like just go to university in order to teach you how to think, right? And how to, you know, get into more, expanding your brain in different ways. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you brought that up. So that's one, I can give you like 100 reasons, but let me just give you like maybe two more so we don't drag this, you know. But it's not just to, you know, critically think. I went to school in Birmingham in the UK. We had a lot of students from China. We had a lot of students from Taiwan, from India, from all over the world, right? So you get the chance to also engage with people that don't look like you, didn't grow up where you grew up, don't think like you, right? So being an environment of diverse minds is also a big, especially if you're living in the West, right? If you're not, you know, if you're living in the West, that's a big thing because you're going to end up working in a company that probably has different people, right? So that's, you know, another reason I loved it. Two, you know, really being independent, right? Really being independent. Like I left to go to college, I was by myself. So I had to be disciplined. Nobody was forcing me to go to the library. Like those things matter, you know? So those are two things I can keep going on and on. But to kind of go back a little bit to what you said, though, yes, I think if you're lucky enough to get into a really good company, you can get that critical thinking, right? But don't forget, when you're in university, you have that luxury of having the critical thinking process building because you have to go through different courseworks, different, you know, group settings that, you know, but when you're on the job, you better be quick because they're paying you, right, to kind of build that mind and to be able to really welcome different perspectives and then think about it and then go write about it, then, you know, submit the paper and the lecturer, your professor says, well, that's wrong. Why do you think that's right? You know, you're not on the job, right? So,
right. You learn, exactly. Yeah. It's a learning process. And I guess that makes sense that it continues beyond, you know, your primary and, you know, secondary school. It is really a learning process. And I definitely understand that, and independence involved as well. So let's talk about your independence, because you took that entrepreneurial kind of shift. You didn't go, you did have some jobs along the way, but what was it that kind of set you off in that entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, no, great question. So, you know, my wife and I, we moved. Yeah, let me just skip that step. I think, you know, we moved to the US, you know, one of the greatest country on the planet, I would say, you know, great country. So we got, yeah, you know, shortly thereafter, we got jobs. My wife had a job. We had a fancy luxury apartment in Maryland, Columbia, Maryland, to be precise. You know, life was great. We had good jobs. We, you know, go to work, come home, do it again. Go to work, come home, do it again. Go to work, traffic. And, you know, it just gets to a point, this American dream becomes very predictable, right? And as a human being, especially with someone like my brain, I was like, is this it? Like, I just do this and then I die? I was like, oh, that's kind of boring and predictable. I want something different, right? I felt the urge to do something different. So anyway, in that kind of, you know, time in my life, a friend of mine called me, a really good friend, and said, hey, Ola, can you jump on the plane and come to Dubai and meet me? So obviously when I got that call, I did what a wise man does. I prayed about it and I asked my wife, I said, hey baby, you know, my friend called me and said, you know, I should come to Dubai and help him with his business. And he's meeting with some investors there. Obviously this was pre-COVID. This was years ago, years ago. She's like, well, you could Skype, you know, you know what a phone is. Like who does that? Anyway, long story short, I was on the plane to Dubai. And I met my friend who is based in the UK, and he was, you know, kind of showing me what he's doing in his real estate business and kind of asking for my help to kind of re-strategize his business. Anyway, we were like in an hotel room, you know, nothing fancy in Dubai. We were not quad biking in the desert, none of that. Just 3 days masterminding on my friend's business. And I was like, oh my God, this could be that thing I could be doing, right? In the US. So on my way back on the plane, I was kind of just thinking about it. And when I got back to the US, I spoke to my best friend, Google, like, tell me what's real estate. Like, I just started Googling about real estate, right? And, you know, there was this website that kept coming up, Bigger Pockets. I was like, okay, let me go there. And then I got plugged into their, you know, their podcast, right? And as well. And then this one book, I went from the bottom, right? You know, start from the very bottom. The very first podcast, I was listening to every single podcast. There you go. Discipline, right? Discipline. I listened to every podcast, and then the book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'm like, who is this Rich Dad Poor Dad? Bought the book. Right. Initiative. Nobody told me to, you know, to buy the book. Bought the book. And then I did that, right? Bought the book. And then I read the book. And I was like, oh my goodness. This is exactly what I've been trying to say, right? That go to a comeback mood again. Was what that book was about. Anyway, shortly thereafter, I think 2-3 months, 4 months after that period, I bought my first building, a duplex in Class A area in Baltimore, Maryland. And, you know, my wife and I moved into the bottom floor. We rehabbed it, and then we had 2 tenants. And then the very first kind of epiphany was that first rent check. I was like, oh my God, somebody actually gave us money. like this cannot be real, right? So that happened. And, you know, I like to tell this story. You know, we were at home, my wife and I, on a typical, you know, night doing what lovers do, cooking. and then I told my wife, I was like, hey, like my account just keeps growing. I just have all this money, you know, right? Because before that, I would get paid and it goes right out, get paid, go right out.
Right.
Now we bought this building, you know, this money is growing. And my wife was like, me too. I have all this money in my account, you know, but really taking that time to really have that thought, like, wow, we just bought one building and we have all this extra cash. If we did this like 10 times, we wouldn't have to go to work. That was the start of dwelling, and that's
how it was simple. Yeah, a simple equation.
Yeah,
yeah, and that epiphany moment, right? A lot of people have in the real estate journey. It's just that one deal. It's the first deal, right? It's just that epiphany moment where here I'm working for money, I'm trading my time for money, and here with real estate, you know, you're putting in time, but the amount of money you're getting in return is a lot more than that. And so you're not just trading your time for money. Your money's actually making money for you.
And you have a degree of freedom depending on your real estate strategy. I think that's so crucial as well, right? So that was such a big piece for me, because if we literally just bought the same building 10 times, I mean, we'd have the freedom. I can just get a guy that just goes and fix things. And yeah, I mean, I'll still have to do some work, but I'll be
free. Right.
You know, I can just travel and, you know, so that was the kind of start of it.
So did you guys sit down and like make a number, and some people come up with like a number, like the number of units, you know, that will give me that freedom that I don't have to work anymore?
Yeah, we did not sit down to do that as a couple and all that. What we did was obviously set up our company Dwelling, which is what I'm in the process of building.
Right.
And, you know, I read a book, right? It's called Three Simple Steps by a guy called Trevor G. Blake. And he talks about like never sharing your goals. I'm not a big one to say, hey, I want to have X amount of, you know, units. And then that's like my spot, because then you get there and then you move it again anyways, right? So for me, it's just really getting to a point where, you know, you can give back. We have something called the One House Pledge in Dwelling, where I'm really pushing myself to donate a house every year to a family, right? Free, mortgage free. So I think that's more of a realistic thing that I want to do for my immediate community. So, you know, things like that excite me more than the, I know it sounds fancy, like, oh, I want to have 10,000 units, like rah, 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 but it's just not my style.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so you obviously found multifamily was the one thing, right? That was the point that you focused on, and it's taking you to where you are today. So, you know, you've kind of living your own dream, if you will, because you took that opportunity and you went with it. So what would you say to someone who is, you know, maybe someone who's in your shoes, you know, they graduated university, maybe they got a job, and maybe they read Rich Dad Poor Dad, maybe not, right? But they're like, at that point, like, how do they make that transition? Like, how would you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, it sounds very cheesy, but you should read that book, right? I mean, let's start there. Read that book and then understand that it takes a lot of work and a lot of fortitude, mm-hmm. right? I think in our generation, yeah. especially right now, you know, with Instagram and Facebook, and sometimes I even feel, I mean, I don't want to go into that whole social media subject, but I feel like people are actually doing things just to post, right? Yeah. Like it's become a thing. Like, I want to do this so I could just post. But it's like in between the posts, there's actually work. Like right now I'm in my office talking to you, like, and I do a lot of these, I actually do work. Like, and that work, it's good to let people come in behind us. Like, there's a lot of it. So be mentally ready, because what happens is you get in, you're like, oh, real estate, great. And then, oh, you have to basically manage a property with a tenant that is, you know, high rate. Like, oh yeah, that's what, you know, what happens. So be ready to know that it takes a lot of work. So that's kind of mindset, you know, section.
Mindset building, yeah. Right.
Tactically, right? Not everybody has a rich dad that can loan them, you know, a really small amount of money, like $1 million. So if you don't have a dad like that, like I didn't, what you should do is, you know, scrape together some savings and buy a small multifamily asset, right? And now if you're in New York City or California or somewhere really expensive, move, right? Move. Now I get calls every other week, some young person from, you know, with a lot of energy and very idealistic. Oh, I want to do real estate, but there's nothing in my backyard. I'm like, move. You're not a tree. Nothing is stopping you from moving. I moved. I mean, like you said, from countries, and even now cities. I mean, I told my wife we're not moving anymore, but we moved to Houston, Texas. We're gonna grow in Texas. So be ready to take a sacrifice, right? And ready to take a chance on yourself. That's what sacrifice looks like. So that's what I say to you. Get a small duplex. If you can't find one in your area, move to where you can find one and just scrape some savings. It's not a lot of money. You can do a 3.5 down FHA loan. America, in terms of leverage, is one of the best countries in the world. You can buy something that you spend $100 for, that you should spend $100 for $3.50. Come on, where in the world can you do that? So go buy something.
That's incredible. I just want to like elaborate on that, because it's such an important, it's something that you did, right? They call it the house hacking, right? Where you buy a multi-unit, you live in one of them, and then you rent out the other units. So you're talking about buying a duplex with the FHA loan, 3.5% down. You live in one unit, and then you can rent out the other unit, and you can even split it up. You can rent it to two separate tenants or what have you. You can Airbnb it, whatever you want to do. But like you're saying, you have that mortgage is basically being covered by the rent that's coming in. And it's a great way to start out. And like you said, it's not a lot of money. Like if you pay $100,000 duplex, right? It's $3,500. Like it's not the most, you know, difficult thing to scrape together.
Absolutely. So I think one more thing, this is a bonus one, right? Get a mentor. So, you know, when I got the duplex, I was like, wow, this is great. We can do this. Can I go a little bit, bigger multifamily assets? And, you know, I heard, a guest on a podcast. So listen to podcasts too. That's always helpful. And the guest, mm-hmm. At the end of the show, it was Michael Blanc's podcast, and Michael Blanc has told the guest, do you want to give your information? And my mentor was like, well, I'm going to give my number. Nobody's going to call anyway. Well, I'm nobody. So I called. I called and said, well, hey, I'm the nobody guy. I want you to be my mentor. And whatever it is that you're charging, I cannot afford it. I can't afford what you're charging, but I'll pay in bits. But you have to have that kind of mindset. Like, you know, people wonder, like, why is this person doing well and this other person isn't? It's like a whole mindset thing. You got to understand that piece. And obviously my mentor was like, oh, this guy is either crazy or really, really dedicated. One of the two or both. And he took it. It took it, you know. And now that mentor, I think he charges like, you can't even break that down in monthly payments now. But this was years ago and I was able to do that. So like, little things like that helps you. Don't try to go, you know, into commercial real estate by yourself. You can go buy the house down the street and flip it. Nobody's going to stop you. But if you want to buy like bigger buildings, yeah, you need a team. I know people hear that a lot, but you really, really need a team. Yona, I'm sure you've done one of our properties with either Kent or Rob. You know, you need people like Yona. You need a team of people to help you. It's not a one-man show.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely not a one-man show. You need a team. You need that mentor. You need someone pushing you. And, you know, I congratulate you on your success and having doing that and continue to do that, because like you said, you're plowing down, like you're working hard. You're trying to find deals. You're trying to continue that growth, right? You don't necessarily have a goal in mind that I need to hit this number of units, but you're not, you know, you're relentless in the pursuit of that, you know, kind of unnamed goal.
Mm-hmm. And I want to, you know, just for anyone listening as well, I do have a goal. I just don't like to share it. Sorry. I think I made right. that part. I just right. don't like to share it. I do have a number.
No, I,
yeah, I just don't
like I got to that. Share
it. Yeah. It's all about like energy apparently. So I read in a book, so I just don't share it.
Okay. That's great. No, I agree with that. That's a very powerful, it's a powerful thing, you know, keeping when you put something out there, it, yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. So I want to jump into the final four over here, because we could go on and on, and this is a wonderful discussion. I've learned a lot about you and about your journey and how you can, you know, anyone really can do this, and a lot of great advice. And that's what this is all about. It's about the Weiss advice, right? It's giving that advice for people who are looking for it. But the final four, these are great questions that I like to ask all my guests that hopefully will open up some new things. One of them, I think you touched on already, but the first question I ask everyone is, what is the worst job that you ever had?
Whew, let me think. I gotta be careful now. I don't know if my bosses are listening to this. Let me think. What is the worst job? I think I'll probably say, I won't say the name of the brand, but working in a restaurant business, horrible. A fast food restaurant business.
Fast food restaurant, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a difficult job. Oh, yeah. And I imagine that you did that when you were young.
Yes, when I was young, yes. Ages ago. I was on the drive through. You know, like it really builds character.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that because it's true, you know, and a lot of times when we think about things that we didn't like to do, but we did them anyways. And, you know, I'm sure there was a certain point where you're like, I just don't like this anymore. I got to find something else to do. But up until that point, you did it because there was, you know, there was a goal that was made, right? There was things you needed to do. Maybe you needed to make money. You needed to have, you know, some income for that. And that work ethic, right, propels us even if we don't like the job we're doing. But that's why I always like to ask, like, what was the worst job? Because there's always a lesson in that worst job.
Absolutely. And I was there for 2 whole years. And, you know, I think it's really important because you're in your house, your mom and dad loves you. They give you all this love, but then you go to this place and like, nobody cares about you. Like, oh, give me that burger. Like, go on. Like, you're like, oh, wow, I thought I was special. Well, actually, no, you're just part of, you know, 7 billion other people that looks like you, like, you know, similar to you. So get on with it. I think it's good. You're not in a bubble.
It toughens you up.
It toughens you up. It toughens you up, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the second question I have, and I think you may have answered this. You may want to take a different route with this question, but a question, is there a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift? Right. You mentioned Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which obviously gave you a paradigm shift, but maybe there's not something else that maybe you think different about things.
Yeah. So one thing I've got to say as well is it's so corny, but I'll do it. Leaders are readers. It's just as simple as that. Like if you really want to be, you know, an A+ player in this world, you just have to read. That's it. Like it's non-negotiable. If you don't like reading books, Audible. So I read, I think I've read about 40 books already this year, I believe. You have to read like consistently. Anyway, my book that I love the most is Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. And it talks about death. I know, morbid. But it really just makes you think like, wow, first, like how much time do I really have here? So what kind of work do I want to do, right? And how would that legacy look like? So I really love that book, Meditations, Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah, and I think it's important to think about that. You know, we live here a very finite number of days on this world, and so to use those days to their fullest. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's a great book. Third question is, what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
I've never gotten that question before. What is a skill or talent?
Of course, Ola, I ask questions that
of course. Come on. Of course. Oh, what skill or talent? Can it be business related?
Anything.
You know, I really would love...
It could be riding the canoe. You know, it can be anything.
It could be anything. All right, no, I'll be like the business, you know, geeky guy. I would really love how to just naturally raise equity. I'm sorry, guys. That's the best thing to come up with. Yeah.
It's good. No, listen, it's a very important skill to have. And I would say it is a skill. It's something that can be learned, definitely. Yep. There are books out there. There are podcasts. There are a lot of, and teachers and mentors. You know, you might want to think about finding a mentor.
I know, right?
Successfully raising, you know, millions and millions of dollars, because it's a very important skill to have, especially if you're in the real estate business. Because the more money you have, the more you can do with that money.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay, and the fourth and final question is: what does success mean to you?
Yeah, you know, I get asked that question a lot. I was speaking to somebody recently and they were like, well, Ola, you know, your story, you're an exceptionalist. I was like, oh, never. I think I've heard that word before. I was like, I am. Like, you know, and I just really think a day that, you know, I can just be able to do whatever I want, take my kids to the park, play with them, drop them off at school, take my wife for a late breakfast, and, you know, not have to worry about being anywhere. I think freedom is really the end goal. You know, I look on my Instagram sometimes, I want to puke. It's like everybody on a yacht with like beautiful girls. I'm like, no, that's like, no, like happiness should be that grace of God upon your life, not being religious, but just really having that peace upon you and not having to, you know, constantly want to project like, hey, look at me, I'm so better than everybody else, but more of how can I help? How can I give, you know?
Yeah, there is definitely an inner peace that goes along with real success and freedom you're not out there to impress anyone anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think you touched on that before, that, yeah, looking on Instagram, looking at social media and seeing how people are just there just for the sake of being there, right? And it's mm-hmm. fake. It's a lot of fake. Don't get me wrong. They may be actually making money off of it, you know, of their sponsors and things like that going on. But it's upsetting because many people take it at face value and it kind of leaves them empty.
Yeah. And it's upsetting because we have kids. I have two girls. So, you know, we got to be careful. You know, what are we showing the next folks coming after us? Like, this is meant to be, you know, if you can fake this, you get sponsorships, but you're not actually producing into the economy, right? Like, let's think about that for a second. So anyway, that's a whole other podcast, but I think we have to be careful with that stuff. You know, there's this world you're online, absolutely right, and then there's this real world offline. We shouldn't, you know. Yeah.
It is, you're right. It's a subject that we can go off on, and perhaps we might, because it's a very important topic. You know, the power of social media, but also the, you know, the seduction and the kind of, you know, not the anti-reality, if you will. Like, it's just, you have to realize that there's a real life out there that you have to live and be successful at it. So I want to thank you. Where can our listeners find you, Ola? Where can they reach out to you?
Yeah, so definitely if you'd like to know more about, you know, what we're doing at Dwelling, best places, you know, investwithola.com, investwithola.com. Also, Instagram, I'm not really there, but you can check me out. LinkedIn, I'm ubiquitous. You cannot miss me. I'm everywhere. You cannot miss me.
You cannot miss Ola, that's for sure. Bigger Pockets also. You want to find him anywhere, he's there.
Yep.
And yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. I wish you much continued success. And it was great catching up with you today, Ola.
Thanks so much, Ian. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you. To our listeners, thank you again, once again, for listening, tuning in. I hope you got a lot of value out of this. I certainly did. love the conversations with my friends, and I hope you're enjoying it as well. So remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.